Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And some verses that the Lord spoke to me. Just some encouragement to seek the Lord. We're going to jump in right at verse 1. And we're going to read down through to verse 11. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place upon which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their suffering, and so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Let's pray. Lord, this is your word, Lord. You inspired Moses to write these things. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, we confess we need more of you than ever before. And so, Father, we ask you to release your word in our hearts. Lord, Lord, I am a frail earthen vessel. Lord, I pray that I would be faithful to the things that are on your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, in verse 1, Moses is going about his ordinary business. He's a shepherd. He's taking care of his father-in-law's flocks. He's busy. He's just doing regular things. And the Lord breaks in to his normal routine. This is what God does, isn't it? Sometimes when we're not expecting it, God breaks in into the ordinary things. And they become extraordinary. And I think this is what God wants to do for us in these days. He wants to break in. Maybe in our job situations, we're busy working, earning money, busy doing the things we have to do. God says, I want to break in. I want to do something new in your life. And Moses wasn't doing anything wrong, was he? He was in the wilderness. He was serving his father-in-law. But Moses had really lost sight of God's calling on his life. If we wind the clock back 40 years, when Moses was 40 years old, we know, don't we? He went and he saw the suffering of his brethren, the Hebrews. And he got so angry that he attacked an Egyptian taskmaster. He murdered him. And he buried him in a shallow grave. And he was discovered and he had to flee, didn't he? All of his dreams, all of his hopes. He had a sense that God wanted to use him as a deliverer. He knew that his life had been spared, didn't he? He knew that his mum and dad remembered the prophecies and knew that the time was shortly coming to an end. The 400 years. Remember Joseph, when he died, he said, we're going to be in Egypt for about 400 years. And his parents, in faith, knowing that the time had almost come, made that little wicker basket and they daubed it in bitumen. And then they floated it down the River Nile, trusting that somehow God would save that little baby. And we know the miraculous story, don't we, of the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh. She rescues Moses. And she says, "I call his name Moses, for I drew him from the water." And there's a lot of significance in that, isn't there? We could think of when David says the same thing, King David in Psalms. "He drew me. He took me from many waters. He drew me because he delighted in me." And Moses was rescued. God used the daughter of Pharaoh to rescue him. Right? So Moses had this sense, "God, I'm going to be the deliverer. You're going to use me to do something amazing. I'm going to be able to set your people free." So Moses, when he gets to 40 years old, thinks, "This is it. This is the time. I'm 40 years old now. I'm a man. I'm ready." It says, doesn't he was trained in all things by the Egyptians. He was a prince of Egypt. He was trained. He was an educated man. And he went and murdered somebody and then ran away. Disaster struck. I don't know if that's a bit like you. You know, you became a Christian, had lots of ideas and dreams about what God had wanted to do with you. You feel like you've let the Lord down. You know, you've made some mistakes. Isn't it great that God doesn't give up? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it might take some time. Hopefully it doesn't take 40 years. We don't have as long as they had, do we? But God brings us to a place of brokenness. A place where we just don't have a plan. A place where we say with Moses, "Who am I? God, who am I to serve you?" I mean, imagine if God would have come when Moses was 40. He would have said, "Moses, I've got this great plan." And Moses is like, "Okay, it's all right. I've got it covered. I know what I'm doing. I've got my own plan." Right? But 80 years old, he had no plans. He was done. It was over. As far as Moses was concerned, he'd been passed by. He'd let the Lord down. And it was over. And then God broke in. I think that's wonderful. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God saying, "Listen, I can use you now. Now that you're broken, now that you realize your frailty, now I can use you." Isn't that wonderful? And God breaks in. Amen. I love that. God is awesome, isn't he? He says, "Now I can use you. Because you're not full of yourself anymore. You've been through 40 years in the desert." And I think the King James Version has the backside of the desert. You know, I don't know what the difference is in the front side and the back side. But it certainly sounds a lot worse, doesn't it? And then in verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and the bush was burning with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed." And, you know, I believe this is Jesus. You know, it says the angel of the Lord, but if you go down, he asks this burning bush, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am who I am." And I want to look for a minute at what John saw when he saw Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1. In verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory." This is the burning bush. It was a glorious beholding. We've gazed upon Him. We've seen His glory. What did it look like? "The glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Hallelujah, this is Jesus. As John looked upon him, as he remembered the book of John, the Gospel of John is supposed to be written at the end of John's life. As John looked back and remembered, he saw this burning man. And he said he was full of grace and truth. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look in 1 John chapter 1. He says some other things there as he remembers back. right before Revelation. Verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes. It's like he's remembering what we've heard, and we saw him. And the next word says, and we beheld him, we gazed upon him. Then we heard what he was saying, and we saw what he was doing, and then we just gazed upon him. We were astounded as we gazed upon Jesus and what he could do. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, what would it be like if we could wind back the clock and we could just see Jesus moving through Galilee or moving through Nazareth? What would it have been like in that whole region? Some verses in Matthew say that everybody in that entire region was healed. What would that be like? You know, John says we beheld him, we gazed. That word means to gaze upon him. And our hands handled him. He said we touched him. We felt him. We were near him. John says, doesn't he? I lay upon his bosom. Amen. We don't have to come to a burning bush anymore. We come to a burning Savior, Jesus Christ. Man who's full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? In Hebrews chapter 13, we won't go there, but it says that we don't come to a mountain anymore. But we come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Right? We don't have a fearful expectation of judgment, but we come to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It says in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. Man, God wants to consume us. He wants to burn away the compromise. He wants to burn away the sin, the things that so easily beset us. So that we can say with John, I beheld him, I gazed upon him, and he was full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's look at verse 3. And so Moses said, I must turn aside now. I think the King James has, let me turn. And I want to be really blunt. But you know, sometimes we really need to turn aside. We really need to turn aside. You know what Marsha prayed really blessed me, because that's exactly what was on my heart, that we need to seek God. Moses had a choice in that moment, didn't he? He could have, oh yeah, there's a burning bush. I think I'm going to go back to my sheep. Right? Or he could have ignored it. But no, it says Moses made it an act of the will. He turned aside. He deliberately turned aside to seek God. And let's be honest. I mean, we're seeking a lot of different things, aren't we? What are you seeking? I mean, I don't want to be legalistic, but you know, our affections are matched by the time we spend. How much time have you spent seeking the Lord this week? I don't want to be legalistic at all. I'm not saying you have to spend so much time a day. But seriously, have we taken time to turn aside and seek the Lord? Do we know what it is? Jesus said, when you pray, get into your prayer closet. Get alone with me. Do we know what it is to get alone with the burning bush? To get alone with Jesus? Say, Lord, consume me with your fire. Or are we too busy trying to make ends meet? Or too busy doing other things? I know there's a myriad of things we can do. I don't want to say anything, so I don't want anybody to think I'm picking on them. I'm certainly not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, Moses, he turned aside. This is what he said. I must turn aside. This is too wonderful to pass by. This is too incredible that a bush would be on fire and wouldn't be consumed. I'm sure he'd seen desert fires before. But here's a bush that's burning and burning. And it says a blazing fire. It wasn't just a little candle. It was a blazing fire. And he said, I've got to turn aside because this is just too wonderful. Is that what we're saying about Jesus? I just got to be alone with Jesus. He's just so wonderful. I've got to be close to him. I've got to spend time in His Word because He's the most incredible being in the universe. I mean, what happens when we get to heaven? We realize, oh, Jesus, You're more wonderful than I imagined. We spent our lives just investing in things that don't last. I want to encourage you, turn aside. Turn aside this week. Why put it off? Turn aside today. Take some time to get alone with Jesus. He's more wonderful than this burning bush. Hallelujah. He's full of grace and truth. You know, Satan wants us busy, doesn't he? I mean, seriously, how many of us are busy? I mean, if I counted up the number of basketball games I've watched in the last few weeks, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm going through plays in my sleep. You know? What's happening? I mean, it's great, isn't it, to watch our kids and to see them, you know, make mistakes and do their best. It's wonderful. But how does it compare? I'm just using an example from my own personal life. You know, Facebook. Thankfully, I don't have a Facebook account, but I know that some people are on Facebook all the time. You know, TV. I'm not criticizing anybody. I don't know what you do, but I'm just saying, what about taking some time and putting away those things and seeking the living God? Can we ever be disappointed? Will we ever be disappointed? Will we ever get to heaven and say, you know, Lord, I think I spent too much time with You. You're really awesome, but you know, there were so many other things I could have done. No, we can never. I don't believe that one single second in the Lord's presence is wasted. One moment at the feet of Jesus. I mean, I love church. I love worshiping. I just enjoyed this morning letting the Holy Spirit minister and loving Jesus. But what if it was like that every morning? Why not? Why not? Why do we have such low expectations? Why don't we expect God to come and speak to us morning by morning? New mercies I see. Lamentations 3 says that, doesn't it? Your mercies are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And what are you doing morning by morning? I'm just asking the question. I'm not criticizing anybody. What are you doing morning by morning? Grab a cup of coffee in the newspaper. Check the weather on the TV. And the Lord's there waiting. Oh, come on. Turn aside. Leave it all behind. Turn aside. Come and get close to Me. Oh, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Hebrews 12 says that the Lord disciplines those He loves. You know, we complain about trials, don't we? Oh, it's so hard to go through trials. And it is hard. But maybe the Lord's disciplining you. Maybe the Lord says, oh, I love you. I want you to be near Me. I'm going to have to discipline you. It says, doesn't it, in the next verse, no discipline for the present is joyful. It's grievous. James says, doesn't he, count it all joy when you fall into trial, knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience. Amen. God's looking for mature Christians, isn't He? Not just baby Christians who want to be spoon-fed all the time. Turn aside. Look what happens in verse 4. We're not going to get very far, are we? It doesn't matter. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that He turned aside to look. Right? See, God's responding. God's responding. As Moses turned aside, God responds. Isn't that wonderful? Right? God responds to you when you seek Him. In Psalm 27, David says, the Lord said, seek My face. And I said, oh God, Your face will I seek. Amen? It's going to take a commitment of the will. Not in some religious way or some legalistic way, but we need to get a hold of ourselves. Say, God, I'm going to seek You. And when the Lord saw, verse 4, that He turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Isn't that wonderful? God said, Moses. Moses. Ah, what a delight. What a wonderful delight to hear God, the creator of the universe. Isn't it wonderful to hear God say, Kevin, oh Kevin, right, or Paul, Ilana, Steve. Isn't it wonderful that God calls us by name? Oh, I think it's wonderful, isn't it? Eric, you've turned aside. Kelsey, you've turned aside. Bob, I mean, we could go right the way around the room, couldn't we? Shirley, Brad. Isn't that wonderful that God knows your name? Oh, He knows you. He knows what you are. He knew Moses was a murderer. He knew Moses had given up. He knew Moses had failed. He knew Moses was good for nothing. He knows you failed. He says, oh, Moses. I love that. I absolutely love, my heart is rejoicing. God, you're bigger than our mistakes. God, you're awesome. You can call us to do wonderful things. You haven't passed me by. I mean, I wonder what Moses thought in that moment. As he says, he lay there, he was terrified. And here this bush starts to speak. I mean, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? You know, you're in the garden doing your in the summer and suddenly a bush bursts on fire and starts to speak to you. Man, I think I'd fall down on my face too. And then it starts saying, Moses. Oh, I bet his heart just leapt. God knows my name. He remembers me. You know me. You haven't given up. I don't know. Maybe the Lord would speak that to our hearts today. Listen, I know you. I know all about you. And I want you to turn aside and follow me. Because I want to reveal myself to you. Amen. I want to show you who I am in my blazing glory. Isn't that wonderful? And Moses said to God, here I am. I mean, I think God knew that. But what else could he say? Here I am. Is that the cry of your heart today? Lord, here I am. It's just a cry of surrender, isn't it? God, here I am. I'm cracked, I'm broken. I'm an earthen vessel. But God, here I am. And God begins to reveal to Moses who I am. In fact, he tells him his name. He's never told anybody his name before in the history of mankind. And he tells Moses his name. Oh, there's so much more that we could talk about. But he begins to speak. And I don't know, maybe I'll tackle that next week. But just to be encouraged that God knows you and you haven't put him off, and that when you seek him, you'll find him. And when you find him, you'll find that he's more wonderful than anything you could have imagined. Right? Moses saw the burning bush and he realized that it was Yahweh, Jehovah, God Almighty, that was revealing himself to him. That's incredible. It's what God can do when we turn aside. He says, come on, come and seek my face. Come and seek my face. I was going to turn to Song of Songs, and there's some beautiful verses. He said, my beloved is coming. He's leaping on the mountains. He's calling out my name. Oh, for lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of the birds is heard. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Arise, my love, and come away with me. Come away with me. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. for your face to me is lovely in the secret place of the steep pathway. When things are difficult, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me hear your voice and let me see your face, for your face is lovely. Isn't that wonderful? Right? God's saying, oh, come away. Come away with me, my love. Come away with me. Turn aside from your busyness. Take some time to seek me. You'll never be disappointed. Put some things away. Put some things down. And do what Marsha's been doing, getting into the Word. Getting into the Word and worshipping God, seeking Him. You'll never be disappointed. Amen. God knows your name. Hallelujah. Never be disappointed. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you're so good. Father, that you know our name. Lord, what a rest and relief that is. Oh, that I don't have to introduce myself to you, Lord. You know me intimately. Lord, as David said in Psalm 139, you know my rising up. Lord, you know my sitting down. Lord, if I went to hell, Lord, you were there. If I ascend to the heavens, you're there. The darkness and light are the same to you. You understand my thoughts. You know the words that I speak before they're even framed upon my lips. Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. We cannot attain it. But Lord, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we're humbled to know that you know our name and all that it represents. All of our histories, Lord. All of our propensities, Lord, they're known by you. And Lord, you're calling us to turn aside. Lord, we just say yes, Lord. Lord, we want to make some sacrifices. Lord, we want to take some time and seek your face because, Lord, we won't be disappointed. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would lay hold of us. Lord, I know that we're really busy. Lord, we're really busy. But, Lord, we pray we wouldn't be like Martha. You have to upbraid us and say, hey, you've missed the most important thing. Mary has chosen the better place. Oh, Lord, and I do pray, Lord, as we seek you as a church, Lord, on our knees, Lord, morning by morning, that you would really meet us, Lord, that we would be able to put away those things that are stumbling blocks, that we'd be able to unstop the wells, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And that you would flood us, Lord, again and again and again and again with your Holy Spirit. Father, we just look to you to do this. Father, for your sake, Lord, for your kingdom's sake, for your Son's sake, Lord, we pray. Amen.